Welcome to Travel Itch Radio, the show that lets you scratch your lust for travel from the friendly confines of your home. Yes, folks, I'm Roger Noriega, filling in for Dan Schlossberg, along with Priscilla Ann Willis.
This is the 257th episode of Travel Itch Radio. Every week at 8 p.m. Eastern, we interview hoteliers, transportation executives, city, state, and national tourism officials, authors, writers, broadcasters, and others involved in the world of travel, and today, food.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask forgiveness from our guest. I hope I do get his last name correct, but I'm sure he'll correct me. Our guest tonight is Chris Lotito of Lotito Food. Welcome to Travel Itch Radio, Chris.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here, and you got my name perfect.
Awesome.
Welcome to the show, Chris. We understand that you're the third generation in a company that's more than 100 years old. Did the company originally originate in Italy?
Yes, as a matter of fact, our roots travel back to Italy, but I'm actually a fourth generation cheesemaker. And my great grandfather started the business back in a town of Corrado, Italy.
Wow. Chris, tell us, how did the Great Depression influence the development of Lotito Foods?
Well, my grandfather and grandmother got married, and in 1929, he was a builder. And the stock market crashed. He lost most of his money. And my grandmother, who was the cheesemaking side of the family, taught by her father in Italy, said people have to eat. So she taught him how to make cheese, and he built a cheese factory in New Jersey. And as they say, the rest is history.
Wasn't the company first known as Lotito Dairy?
Yes, it was. When my father got married, he left the family business in New Jersey, and he moved into Brooklyn, New York, where he started it and called the company Lotito Dairy. Then in 1989, we incorporated in New Jersey as Lotito Foods.
In the beginning, Chris, your dad made mozzarella and ricotta. What made him decide to go into other kinds of cheese?
You said ricotta so perfectly. That was very nice.
Thank you.
Yes. And, yeah, the family business was mozzarella and ricotta when they first started. And as my father built the business and brought on more customers, he saw that there was interest in other Italian cheeses, and he felt what a perfect natural addition to his line. So that's why he went into other cheese.
Okay.
The history of your company jumps from Corrado, Italy, to Lebanon, New Jersey to Brooklyn, and then back to Jersey again. Now you have four different factories, including one in Sicily. Is that correct? So you've come for a circle, right?
Absolutely correct. I missed that.
No, go ahead, Chris.
So, yeah, that's actually correct. We started in Italy, and now we have a plant in Italy, and in between is New York and New Jersey. So, yeah, you could say we came full circle.
Chris,
yes. Now, actually, Priscilla, forgive me a moment. I do apologize, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes this isn't made clear, and it's my fault. On the live feed of Blog Talk Radio, between the guest and myself, there can be a one-second delay. So I do apologize, and it does cause, shall we say, problems with the translation, Chris. So we do apologize. That was
That's all right. I'll slow down.
That's good.
Roger, you also sound a little far away for some reason. Maybe it's just my phone, but
I do.
As a matter of I will endeavor to get closer.
Chris, were you responsible for changing the name from Lotito Dairy to Lotito Foods?
Yes. From 1975 to today, we've continued to increase our offerings to supply new innovative products. And after my father passed away in 1980, and we outgrew our factory in New York. We moved to New Jersey in 1989, and when I reincorporated, I decided to change the name to better fit the image of our company.
Yeah, that makes sense. So among your Italian specialty products, you carry sun-dried tomatoes, Calabrian peppers, and what are some other specialty items?
Yeah, we expanded to sun-dried tomatoes back in the 80s during that craze. And we've introduced Calabrian peppers to the United States now, and they're growing in leaps and bounds. You see them on many, many Italian specialty dishes. And we expand, we have truffles and all different kinds of products, pestos and bruschettas. So, wanted to make sure that our customers, old and new, better understood all the things that we had to offer.
So I know Italian food is special. Tell our listeners why it's so special. Is it the rich soil, the climate, or other factors?
Well, the soil and the climate are definitely factors, but it's basically that Italian food follows the practice of clean label and farm to table, which are big trends now in America, but they're a way of life in Italy, and they always have been.
Oh, sorry, guys. I had to run around the house a few times so I could get closer. So hopefully it sounds much better now.
Okay.
All right, I'm sorry. I had to get one in there. Chris, tell us, how much time do you get to spend in Italy?
Not enough. But my wife, Marianne, and I travel to Italy on business at least 3 or 4 times every year. And my import manager, Rosario Piccone, he spends half his time in Italy and half in America. So he watches over the operations and the suppliers. So we're, as a team, back and forth a lot.
Fair enough. Just out of curiosity, each time you go over to Italy, what is the length of the trip? Do you stay there for like a weekend? Well, I doubt a weekend, but what's the length of each trip, more or less?
Yeah, we're usually there 7 to 10 days. As a matter of fact, we leave in October again. We'll be there for about 10, 12 days. And Rosario's there usually a month at a time, every other month.
I'm on his
job. Okay.
Yeah,
no kidding. Well, knowing that, tell us about your experiences in Italy and what influences you've brought here to America.
Well, every year for the past 15 years, we've brought clients to Italy. We visit different towns and regions so that they can experience the food and the culture of those regions, which vary from region to region and sometimes even from town to town. This became an important learning tool to our accounts, and equally, it was very important to our suppliers in Italy. We also began running creation events in Italy. And as a tribute to our company and for all the collaborations between Italy and the United States, in 2011, the Culinary Center at the University of Sapporo was dedicated in honor of my father, Alphonse, and to Latino foods. This is one of the most important culinary schools in Italy. They are also accredited by the American Culinary Federation. So actually a student can earn a chef degree in Italy, and then if he came to America, he would be a full chef certification because of the ACF. So to receive that plaque and the dedication was a great honor for us all.
I'm actually going to Italy in October, too. I have to add that. But I'll be in northern Italy.
So will we.
On a culinary tour.
You got it.
A chef trained in the Culinary Institute, Italian Culinary Institute. So, anyway, what kind of innovations have you created based on your Italian experience?
Well, many of the dishes in some of the largest restaurant chains have been created at our culinary center. and throughout our visits with in Italy with the different teams that we bring there. And it's amazing, little techniques that we've seen or we've been taught on our trips have been used in a numerous amount of times on different dishes that we create, you know, ingredients and how to use them over the years.
Like, give one example.
One example. Well, we make
I saw
a we have an incredible product that's called the value-added product. It's a mix of about 18 ingredients. But all the ingredients are all natural ingredients, and they are five different cheeses. So a restaurant chain, for instance, can make a lasagna. By only cooking the pasta, they add our mix, some sauce, and then bake it, and it becomes a complete lasagna. It saves them time, it's efficient, it's cost-effective. They don't have to have all of those stock-keeping units, and they don't need that many people in the kitchen, and the inconsistencies are eliminated.
And that's important. What do you see as the next big food trend? Let's obviously sticking to Italian food.
Sure. So, I mean, good Italian food is really simple. And, you know, you need just a few great ingredients. And don't over-season.
Yeah.
Use staples like garlic, olive oil, grated cheese, vegetables, herbs like basil and oregano. But go light on the oregano. Sometimes people overuse oregano. Makes their food get a little bitter.
Yeah.
But we've created some items that are big trends. One of them that we just came out with is a cheese wrap that we call a folio. It's 100% cheese. And our newest line of foods comes directly from Italy. And it's Italian street food, like rice balls, mini calzones, stuffed zucchini flowers, and many, many ingredients like that. This is really big in Italy for years, but now it's one of the leading trends in America. So we're on the cutting edge, and we'll be rolling these out in restaurants and supermarkets throughout the country.
Cool. Yeah, the street food line, that sounds great. Those will be super. And I also saw on your website the cheese folios, and I've made those before. They're so simple to make. But anyway, a lot of people won't make them. They'll buy them. Where can people buy those? And, you know, that really fits into the low-carb thing that everyone's trying to do too.
Sure. So, you know, a cheese folio is a lightly baked sheet of cheese. They kind of look like tortillas in a package, but they're 100% cheese. You could use them as the wrap instead of a flour or a corn-based wrap, and you eliminate all those carbs. And since it's made out of cheese, you don't have to add cheese inside your wrap, so you could save on calories too, besides all those carbs. But the unique thing about the folio is that you could also pop them in the microwave, and in a minute, they start to bubble, and you could shape them into a bowl or a taco shell or many different shapes like a cone, and then they harden in a minute, and you could fill them and do different things with them. So they could be found, you know, they're really a great item. They come in three flavors, Parmesan, cheddar, and Jarlsberg, and they're doing tremendous in every supermarket that we put them in. So far, they're in HEB supermarkets all over Texas. They're in ShopRite's in the New York metropolitan area, Hy-Vee out on the West Coast, and we're getting more and more of supermarket chains that will be putting them on real soon.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'll look for those in Southern California.
Yes, please.
Okay, Roger, you're up.
Chris, I understand you work closely with big restaurants and enormous restaurant chains. Could you tell us how those relationships work, please?
Sure. Well, besides providing, you know, the best cheeses that they require, like Parmesan, Romano cheese, Asiago, and cheddar cheese, either grated or shredded and shaved, which we do all of those, We also provide, like I was talking about earlier, value-added solutions. And these usually come after trust levels are developed in the culinary team at their culinary centers, where they start to begin to feel comfortable with us, and they task us with the tough requests. And it's always easier to sell when we provide their need rather than provide our need.
Yeah. And we talked about this a little before, Chris. With restaurant change, the taste of the food has to be consistent in every outlet. And how does Lotito Foods make sure that happens?
Sure. And that's, you know, also, yeah, we did touch on it a little bit, but that's what we do best. And why a multi-chain restaurant needs our services. The ability to run large batch production using automation, quality controls, testing at every level, creates a consistent and safe food formula that can be delivered to every restaurant throughout the United States. And we even supply restaurants as far as the Middle East. And they're all served without variance when they serve a meal. So, you know, like the meal you get in your favorite restaurant in Boise, Idaho, it's going to be the same one if you were in Midtown Manhattan. That's what we provide.
Excellent.
Chris, I know I'm generalizing a bit, and being that I'm American myself, when most Americans think of Italian food, they think of pizza and pasta. How is Lotito Foods involved in that?
Okay, well, I don't mind them thinking of pizza and pasta. I'm from Brooklyn, and we always felt that pizza was born in Brooklyn, not Italy. But, but we, you know, I love pizza, I love pasta, and there's so many other great Italian foods. But we provide the cheese and the mozzarella, the specialty ingredients for great pizza and pasta all over America. So the sun-dried tomatoes that you'll see on a pie or a spicy Calabrian pepper, or even they get fancy and put some truffle oils, they come from us, hopefully, most of the time.
I like that, Chris, and I got that on a pie. That's Brooklyn. That's a slice. Well, actually, a pie is pizza, right?
Yep. Sorry.
No, not at all. That's cool, man. You're in Brooklyn mode right now. That is great. Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I'm sure you can't hear that from my voice, right?
Oh, no, not at all. You know, I'm out here in Southern California burning up with the hot weather, and I just cannot discern it, Chris. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Travel Itch Radio with, of course, you know who I am, Roger Noriega, filling in for Dan Schlossberg, and, of course, my co-host, Priscilla Ann Willis. Find the archive show on blogtalkradio.com or check out Travel Itch Radio on Facebook. We're also on iTunes. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, iTunes. We're talking with Chris Lotito, owner and president of Lotito Foods.
Okay, back to cheese. Cheese is just, I could never be a vegan because you can't eat cheese. But anyway, obviously, it's a manufactured dairy product. How, when, and where do you make sure you find the creme de la creme, Chris, for your cheeses?
Well, we make some of the creme de la creme. We have our cheese factory in Vermont, which probably has some of the best milk in the country. And we also make cheese in Sicily, in our plant in Sicily, in a little town called Santo Stefano. And, you know, besides the cheeses that we make, we travel all over the world. And we source great dairy products that we feel are up to our standards and therefore can carry our Gabriella brand.
Your Lotito Foods is known for your culinary innovations. We've talked about the cheese folios. I think those are genius. But let's get on to operations side. Are you a hands-on owner who keeps tabs on all four factories as well as your clients?
I do. I keep tabs on everyone. And, you know, we did some other innovations too. One of our greatest innovations is that we took a wheel of Romano cheese and brought it all the way down to cube size. So some of the biggest restaurant chains that grate the cheese at the table were able to put the cheese cube right into the grater without having to work with a 55-pound wheel and a knife. And, you know, sometimes they have young people that work for them. And we eliminated a lot of those dangers and those problems. And for that, we won awards. And so we were really proud of that innovation, too. So as being a hands-on owner, I absolutely am. But I have a great team that oversees our production, operations, sales, and marketing on a daily basis. And as our company grew, we needed to add those people in those key positions to guarantee that our company was working together as a group, but also as all those companies have to actually operate individually too.
Yeah. And since Lochito Foods has been a family-run company for more than a century, are there other members of your family working with you?
Yes. My wife, Marianne, is a key partner in all the product development. She's a great cook and has a tremendous palate. She created almost every Folio recipe that you can see online at cheesefolios.com. And they are really great. I invite everyone to go on there and look at them and try them for themselves. My sister Kara works for me. My brother-in-law Steven, my sister-in-law Edie all work for us. And also we have other key members of our team that are long-time now family members, like John Leschek, our COO. He's been with me for 20 years. My childhood friends, Tom and Mike Galena, they're also longtime employees and friends of mine for over 50 years. And my 90-year-old mom still comes by every so often just to make sure we're all doing a good job and to make sure that the place is spotless.
Keep you all in line.
Definitely. That definitely works. Now, Chris, you have to forgive me. I have to ask you this. But I know, being of Latin descent, if the question I'm going to ask you is like asking me, what's your favorite rice, Raj? But I'm going to get away with it. I have to ask you,
okay,
what is your favorite cheese? Oh, and and
boy,
why?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. So if I said American cheese, it would be really bad. It's not true, though. That's a very hard question because I love all types of cheese. My favorite thing in a restaurant is to order a cheese plate after a great meal. But, you know, you don't find enough of those. But I love all the varieties that come on a cheese plate, from the soft cheeses, the sharp cheeses, the blues, all the different types, different milk qualities. Sheep or goat. But if I had to be nailed down, I would say I have to pick two, one from the hard category and one from a soft category. So when an Italian says, oh, hard cheese for grating, everybody goes, oh, it's going to be Parmigiano Reggiano, because that's the king of Italian cheese. But
Romano.
I guess because of my southern heritage, I would go with a Pecorino Romano, thinness of the Pecorino Romano in the dishes. And for a soft cheese, I would go north to the Trentino area and go with a Taleggio, which is nice and creamy, and or the sheep version of that in Forlì, that's called Tenerina. So, you know, mozzarella is great and burrata is really fantastic, but those would be my two best.
I agree.
Chris, and that's fair, and I appreciate that because that is a difficult question, but I thank you for that. Now, sticking with the difficult questions, at work, I find it most annoying when people say, hey, Raj, what's the best Mexican restaurant around? Because I'm Mexican, you think I know all the restaurants? And it just annoys me to no end. So I wonder, how does it work for you? When you go out to eat, if you do, do you prefer an Italian restaurant, or are you just too critical? Tell me about that.
Well, I'm fussy, but my wife is more fussy. So when we go to an Italian restaurant, it better be good. And fun they are. But I love it. Italian, Greek, Spanish food. I guess the foods around the Mediterranean are our favorite. So we kind of bounce around from different types. Even a good American steakhouse is great, too.
It's all good, yeah. And I can answer this next question, but I'll let you. Are Italian restaurants in the U.S. truly representative of authentic Italian food? We hear even the pizza is different. So what's your response?
So restaurants nowadays, Italian restaurants in particular, they're learning a lot more. And I would say, you know, going back maybe 30 years ago, you couldn't get an Italian restaurant that was on par with Italy. But today, with all the traveling back and forth, and hopefully we had something to do with all of that introduction that we do every year, there's a lot more Italian restaurants that you could find authentic, quality Italian food. And like I said, when it comes to pizza, well, I grew up in Brooklyn, so I think we make better pizza than Italy. But there's great pizzerias everywhere. It's amazing how far pizza has come in so many different varieties. But if you want to talk about the best pizza, you know, it's so hard because in Sicily they make something called stracchino, and it's very thick and spongy and delicious. And you've got the traditional Naples pizza where pizza was born. And then the Roman pizza, which is really long, and they cut it in strips, and you eat it, and they're all great. So my wife says I love pizza too much. So I'm not a good choice
too.
To say that.
I do, too. I think pizza is its own food group.
Yeah, it's true. It's one of my basic ones.
Okay, our listeners always like to learn more about our guests, so please share where you were born and raised and schooled, and we'd like to especially know if you have any official culinary schooling, which you touched on that before, too.
Well, as I said, I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, in the Sheepshead Bay area. I went to high school at Brooklyn Tech and Kingsborough College, and my culinary background began in the summer when I was 16 years old. My father helped me rent a space, and I opened up a pizza shop in a pool club, again, pizza. And as I got older, I opened up some restaurants. So food and cooking was always a passion for me, even though I was in the cheese business. And while making cheese, I took courses with the American Culinary Federation and the Institute for Culinary Education in Manhattan. But really, most of my education was self-taught or refined by all the trips back and forth to Italy and cooking alongside some of the greatest chefs from Italy throughout all these years.
That makes sense. And finally, where can people learn more about your cheese folios and other specialty products and Locito foods in general?
Well, I would welcome them to visit our website, www.latitofoods.com, and also cheesefolios.com, and as well as going on Facebook and following us there.
Okay.
Hey, guys, I'm just curious. When I ran around the house, I kind of lost track of the conversation, but is there a 50-pound story in here somewhere that I may have missed? Did we miss that one?
A what?
let me ask. Is it true that the Olive Garden had trouble cutting up 50-pound blocks of Romano cheese into their cheese graters? Is it true?
Without mentioning the restaurant chain, which I'm not at liberty to do, but we did talk about how there was a 50-pound wheel of cheese that was being used at one time and became too cumbersome for them to use it, and we created and invented a cube that fit right into their graters.
That's brilliant.
We think
most
so.
Most definitely is brilliant.
We think so. We sell a lot of it.
Yeah. And folks, I got to tell you, it shows the brilliance of Chris, and it shows the lack of brilliance on behalf of the host for asking the question. It's all good. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, this one has been cool. All right. Our guest tonight has been Chris Lotito, president, owner of Lotito Foods. Thanks, Chris, for being our guest on Travel Itch Radio.
You're very welcome. It's been fun.
Thank you, Chris.
Excellent.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
All right, that's it for this edition of Travel Itch Radio. Tune in again next week, same time, same station, when we'll make it to Manhattan and learn all about Gulliver's Gate. Now, this is Roger Noriega, pensioning for Dan Schlossberg and Priscilla Ann Willis, saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night, ladies and gentlemen, and have a wonderful, wonderful evening.